This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. We made it. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Getaway day for our show. This time next week, we'll be getting ready to come home. But on Monday, we will be in West Palm Beach covering little spring baseball. Seth, you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. And even if there are flight delays and we get in late for some reason, we're not going to pull a Steve Kerr and whine about it.
No.
We're not going to be like, oh, show has to start at 6 a.m. even though we got in at 1 a.m.
They want their big radio ratings, so they got to send us to West Palm Beach. And
they want all that stuff that's actually making us money, but I'm going to whine about it. Right, Steve Kerr?
Dude.
Like, I would gladly. He never gets up there and says, I would gladly take 50% less in my salary.
Right.
If we would just not do some of this stuff.
That's funny you bring that up. We'll circle back to baseball here in a second, but I was thinking about this yesterday as the Victor Wembanyama news was coming down. Came down right in the middle of In the Loop yesterday. I'm listening to In the Loop, and Reggie's like, oh, we got some breaking news here, and it's not really like Houston breaking news, but it's kind of big breaking news. He's like, Victor Wembanyama out for the season with blood clots. I'm like, whoa, that is like that's pretty heavy. Like, this is the future face of the league.
Yeah, what in the Chris Bosh is going on?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I'm thinking, it's funny you bring up Steve Kerr, because you're right, like, the worst week in recent NBA history probably in a way began with Steve Kerr whining about back-to-backs, not nearly on the level of the other things that have happened in the last week or so, but like I'll start with that, like Steve Kerr whining about back-to-backs, like, dude, you're one of the faces of coaching in the league, suck it up. Like, it's right. you fly on charter flights and stay in five-star hotels to play basketball, to coach basketball. What are we doing? Yeah.
Yeah, go talk to Adam Silver about it in the offseason,
yes,
all right?
Yes.
Or text him. I'm sure you got the ability to do so.
Take it up with your commission. This Doncic trade, which was all the rage and all the topic, is really not working out for either team right now.
They both look like idiots.
Anthony Davis is out for the foreseeable future with a soft tissue injury that he suffered against the Rockets. In the second quarter of his first game as a Maverick.
Good job, Rockets.
And Luka is averaging like 16 points. He's led the league in scoring last year.
Right.
He's averaging like 16 points a game right now and is totally LeBron's cuck right now.
I think the other part of that, too, as much as it's fun to just laugh at the misfortune of others, it's a bit of that cautionary tale of, man, bringing a veteran player on mid-season in the NBA isn't also so always all that simple. That you got to try to get everybody on the same page and get the flow and everything you want. It's difficult, and that's where a lot of us, as I think a lot of Rockets fans, love the idea of Kevin Durant. But you're still, in terms of trading for him mid-season, it's a double whammy, because you're going to trade away a whole bunch of your future, your future assets, and some current assets, but then also for what? Like, what do you actually realize or gain from it, especially when you still have so many young guys on the team?
Yeah, that's a great point. And but with Doncic, it's to the extreme because he's so ball dominant. You know what right. I mean? Like, Durant yeah. at least can kind of mix in a little
right.
bit. You know, like Doncic, all the memes now are Doncic, like, just standing there watching LeBron play, like, literally not moving, just like standing there holding his shorts, you know, like, just standing around.
As far as the Wembanyama stuff goes, it just lets everybody remember, in case you've forgotten, that it sure did look on draft night like Wembanyama thought he dodged a bullet when he realized he didn't have to go to Houston.
Definitely.
You know, he just, what did he say? Turned and said to one of his family members, oh.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. There was a lot of lip reading.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah, merci.
Hey, you know what else is going to happen, Wembanyama? You're gonna give up that Mediterranean diet of yours over there in
yeah.
France, and welcome to San Antonio.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Blood clots.
Yeah, welcome to Blood Clotville.
Population U.
Dude's had more saturated fat and trans fat in his diet than he'd ever had in his entire life since he's been
you
here.
You wouldn't know what to look at him, but yes. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, all right, lay off. Diet bros, okay. Yeah, I know saturated fat isn't as bad as it is.
Are there diet bros?
Like 29
coming,
people schooling me in on exactly.
Oh,
all
I'm
the,
here
yeah.
for that.
All right, okay. The refined yes. carbs. That's what I meant
yes.
to say, everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
Text in.
We can all agree, refined carbs. You should limit.
Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Text in and school Seth.
Oh,
on,
I'm gonna,
on,
now I'm going to get attacked by 19 paleo bros.
Saturation. Doncic trade. Not
what are you, a minion of the American Heart
that's
Association?
Right. Yeah. That's right. But yeah, I was thinking with the Wembanyama news, man, but between that, the Doncic trade is kind of failing both sides, and then obviously the All-Star weekend in so many ways, from the skills competition debacle, which ironically involved Victor Wembanyama, Steph sitting out the three-point contest, LeBron bailing on the game in the press conference right before the game, Kevin Hart existing.
I had a dream about you hating Kevin Hart last
that's
night.
That's not a dream. That's a reality.
It was you and I were on our trip to West Palm Beach, and we got stuck in an elevator with Kevin Hart, and he wouldn't shut up. And you were like, I'm going to kill him, sir. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him.
That would happen, too.
Like, he thought it was up to him to entertain us while we were stuck on an elevator.
Oh, my God.
And
yeah,
it was,
like...
It was good for about 2 minutes.
And you know, it's funny you frame it that way. Like, it was up to him to entertain us. Because that's like, that is what he's being tasked to do. I blame the NBA more than I blame Kevin Hart himself. Like, he's not being brought onto the broadcast to do X's and O's and whatnot.
Right,
he's brought on there to act like Kevin Hart. The NBA's got to realize, I don't come to your store on Saturday or Sunday for Kevin Hart. I don't mind Kevin Hart. I actually like his comedy. I don't need it plunked down in the middle of my basketball game. That's
there's the thing with Kevin Hart or any comedic actor whatsoever. The problem with comedic actors is that if you see too much of them, you start to realize, like, okay, they've got about three or four core shticks, and it starts to get predictable.
Yep.
And that's where you got to be mindful of that, Kevin Hart.
Yes.
The overexposure can almost get people to the point where they don't necessarily feel you're that fresh.
Well, and the one thing that people who aren't comedians, when he's clowning them, that they come back with is his diminutive size.
He's short,
He's short, and what I noticed in the NBA All-Star Weekend was he didn't really have a good comeback for that this time. It was like, oh, real original, Charles. Oh, real original, Shaq. I'm like, no, you got to come up with something. You got to talk about Charles throwing little people like yourself through plate glass windows like he did back when he was a player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or just him being like a bite-sized enough that Charles would probably eat 27
eat
of them during a commercial break or something.
See?
Or eat Kevin Hart while Charles is riding on a stationary bike and everybody else is working.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. See? Not that hard. For the first time ever, something happened this morning. Amy woke up to me and said, what happened in the hockey game last night? I fell asleep. I'm like, wow, yeah. The hockey. That's the other thing about the NBA's bad week, is the NHL had an amazing week. I didn't get to see the game last night between the USA and Canada and an event that I was at, but man, like the reaction to it, the reaction was what I expected here in Houston on social media, Seth. When I got done at the event, I got on social media, and it was a combination of people saying how awesome it was, the USA versus Canada. For those of you who missed it, Canada in the Four Nations Classic, Canada beat the U.S. in overtime, 3-2. This on the heels of the two teams fighting literally three times in the first 9 seconds over the weekend. And then it was also a faction of people who are already hockey fans, like kind of doing that thing like, hey, bro, if you were to just like watch our sport starting in March and April, this is what you get all the time in our sport. You know, kind of like a little, like a tiny bit of condescension of like, you get that with soccer fans too sometimes. Yeah. Like when there's an amazing soccer game that casual people watch and they think it's amazing, the people who are the diehards get a little protective of their sport.
Yeah, they don't want to let you have any joy.
Right.
You got to pay the dues.
Like, no, I'm highlighting your sport. I'm telling you how amazing it is. Yeah, bro, it's amazing all the time, okay?
Hockey is a sport kind of like NASCAR that you don't really genuinely, I think, get into or appreciate until you see it in person a bunch. And that's the problem with the vast majority of big American cities, or the majority of big American cities just flat out don't have hockey going
on. Exacerbated here because we literally don't have a team. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, like we, like in at least in other cities, they have teams they can follow here.
Right, so,
Yeah,
that would be my point.
Right.
Because like, nobody in Houston's like going out to watch ever since the minor league team left.
Yeah, yeah. So so that was a big week for the NHL, man. That Four Nations. They're trying to talk about replicating it with basketball. Maybe that's the ticket to get people care about the NBA All-Star game.
The only problem is, though, too, that like how much of this was, as far as the America being involved and engaged in it, and who aren't hockey fans already, it's because this is our longtime political rival, Canada, is that we're that now
3 months.
Like all this extra heat.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to process all of it. We'll get back to you. I'll explain the whole situation to all of you in the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay. Yeah. Why Canada and the U.S. hate each other.
Exactly what this our audience wants is you and I delving into politics.
Yeah. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Friday. We can cross Zach Martin off of our list. We actually had this discussion the other day about Zach Martin and the Texans. Like, would you bring him in?
Our list of sexiest fat men?
Yes. And Zach Martin was top five.
Big ass.
Yeah. Zach Martin, big ass, for sure.
So Zach Martin, the guard for the Cowboys.
He's retiring.
Who, when he was playing against the Texans, looked every bit like a guy that was ready for retirement. And I was kind of surprised to see him as high on free agency list as he was. This makes sense. He's retiring.
Yeah.
He was beat the hell up this entire season, and he ended up leaving the game in the Texans. And that was his final game of the year, right? I think he went on IR after that.
Did he? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. It was. I was kind of surprised that he was as high up as he was, just because, and maybe it's a testament to how few people actually cared or watched Cowboys games this year. He was an old man this year.
We talked ourselves into it the other day, though, on a 1 year deal. You know?
If it was, because I didn't know, I thought maybe I was underinformed or just didn't know the whole story or had misunderstood things.
Yeah.
But it was, because it's not like he's missed a bunch of games over the past few years, but the way they were talking about it during the broadcast and some of the things I had read after that game was that, man, it's been a rough year for Zach Martin, and he's 34 years old.
Yeah.
He'd be 35 next year.
He had an ankle injury, he needed surgery. Like, he's just, he an amazing career. Like, he should walk into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, and yet Luke Kuechly not making it this year kind of rattled me for making predictions on first ballot Hall of Famers anymore.
Yeah.
Because they kind of tweaked the way they did it. They're trying to make it a little bit more exclusive, and in the process have a class with Eric Allen, Jared Allen, and no Luke Kuechly. You know, like, what are we doing? It's weird.
It feels a little bit like all of a sudden Golden Corral has decided that they're going to up their prices twofold or something. Like, I come to expect a certain thing and a certain, just let me in.
Yeah.
Let me have my chocolate fountain there.
The most amazing stat, this might be one of the most amazing stats for any player across any sport. Zach Martin made first team All-Pro 7 times. He had 7 accepted holding penalties in his career against him. Like, he had as many holding penalties against him as he did All-Pro seasons.
He played a very clean version of football.
Incredible. Yes. That's remarkable. You played down in those trenches. You can attest to how hard that is.
Screw those guys. They hold every damn play. So the thing about this is, what that bothers me and irks me a little bit is that Bill O'Brien, like, nobody respected bloodlines more than Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah.
And he was trying like hell to turn Nick Martin, or believe that Nick Martin was Zach Martin.
He treated him like it, yeah.
Because they shared a bunch of DNA.
Yeah.
It annoyed me. Bill O'Brien, it was almost like he was raised in England in the 1400s or something.
Yeah.
And he just he would have taken the seventh born child of a nobleman over any peasant that could actually play football.
As long as he steals the gym equipment, yes. All right, hey, listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for an hour each day. Your entry into the Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. If you win, you and three friends are going to be headed to Vegas. These next few days are your last chance. Contest is over as of the next week. So get your hour in each day. You know, like a lot of people, get an hour in on the elliptical. No, get an hour in on the Odyssey app listening to us, and you could be on your way to Vegas if you win the big contest to go to Circa during the college basketball tournament. You'll have an extra $20,000 in your pocket to spend while you're there. Just download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day. You'll get your daily entry in the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Up next, is this a byproduct of the swarm mentality, or is this just major gross misreporting on exactly how fined the Texans are this past season? We're going to set the record straight on something that was making its way around the interwebs yesterday. Next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, there's a tweet floating around yesterday that highlighted an aspect of the Texans that I think the Texans are quite honestly pretty proud of, their physicality. Here was Nick Caserio the other day with us. He was on with us on Wednesday. If you missed the interview, it was a good conversation. You can find it on the Payne and Pendergast podcast. Go out of your way to listen to it this weekend while you got some free time. About 45 minutes of conversation with the Texans GM. One of the interesting things that he said was, we're not looking for choir boys out there.
We don't want just a bunch of choir boys walking through this building. Like, you need an edge. Anybody that watches us play on defense sees that we play fast, we play physical, we play with an edge, to the consternation of some people, apparently, you know, throughout the course of the league. But when you play defense, you play with your hair on fire, and you play with an edge, and you want the other team to feel you. So who are the players that have those qualities? You could be a maniac on the football field, and then off the field, you could be one of the best guys ever and you want to go hang out with and have a beer or bring to church or whatever it is. And we have a number of players like that.
All right, so that was Nick Caserio. By the way, much to the consternation of others, was clearly another salvo in the Aziz, in the great war of Aziz Alshire versus the NFL, I think, is
right,
what that was.
Right, right. Yeah, clearly. Much to the consternation of others. Yeah. Well, not to mention the Chiefs game.
The Chiefs game, too. Yes.
In the Chiefs game, I feel like America was on the side of the Texans.
No doubt.
I think there are a lot of people that, even in making the point that, hey, the Texans lost that game in the fourth quarter with or without penalties.
Yeah.
But still, those were bogus penalties.
Yep.
That people were on the side of the Texans in that one. Maybe the league wasn't, but yeah, I think go ahead and lay out all these numbers.
I play that because it highlights the edge with which the Texans play, which can sometimes lead
on defense.
Yes. Clear distinction on defense.
Yeah, having a record-setting false starts is not in playing with an edge.
Not swarming.
That's the opposite. When you're false starting continuously, it's because you're scared of the speed of the other guy.
That's right. Yeah. So there's a graphic making the rounds yesterday. And in large letters, the most fined NFL teams in 2024-25. The teams, and the numbers are final now. Like, the reason this thing came out yesterday is because the league has accumulated and registered all of its fines from the Super Bowl. So the books are closed.
They calculated the $50,000 that was taken off the books because Aziz Alshire and Will Anderson had their fines rescinded.
It's like when they're calculating what the salary cap is going to be. Like, finally, we got it. That's what they did. Yeah. So now we know whatever. And the graphic is pretty startling until you dig into it a little bit. Most fined teams in the NFL. Number one, the Houston Texans. I'll just round up. 3.1 million, roughly. Number two, the Los Angeles Chargers. $903,000.
So that, hey, what the hell?
So that pops, right? Like, the Texans are number one, and it's more than triple the next closest team in the league. So it's like, wow. And I would say, if I were to just look at the rankings without, you know, if I put my hand over the dollar amount, Seth, and the startling difference between the dollar amounts, I would say, you know what? You know, considering Aziz Alshire is your middle linebacker, you play with this swarmy attitude, there's a lot of hitting going on. This is something the Texans, since D'Amico got here, have not been afraid to bring in guys who straddle the line of physicality. Denzel Perryman, for one, Kareem Jackson last year. yeah, I can see the Texans being number one. And then you remove your hand from the numbers, like, okay, not number one by like triple and a half. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if you dig into these numbers, people, because I know a lot of you saw this yesterday, 2.1 million of the 3.1 million are the game checks that DeNico Autry missed. By the way, for a PED suspension, it wasn't even a suspension where he went headhunting or something like that.
Right,
it wasn't even something where, because I think the narrative that gets drawn from this, you start to bake in that the Azeez Al-Shaair hit on Trevor Lawrence. You bake in the fact that the Texans have drawn a reputation, good and bad, for the physicality that they play with. And people are like, oh, yeah, there's a, I mean, I kind of like it. I don't mind it too much. It's just, it's false, this graphic. It's not true.
Yeah. It's just flat out wrong. Yeah, they're not fines. It's money that was lost during a suspension.
They're game
it's
checks.
Like, it's like saying that somebody was convicted of murder when it was simply a negligent homicide.
Correct.
Which we've all done, you know?
Yeah, we
it's
all know
it's a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. So 2.1, now, you take out that 2.1 million, you're still at nearly a million bucks, and you're still number one in the league, but... But there are also two other suspensions baked into the Texans number. Mario Edwards Jr., which, by the way, wasn't a dirty play suspension. That was
substances of abuse.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was $325K, I think. And then Azeez Al-Shaair, definitely lost game checks for physicality, was $338. You shake it all up and you pour it all on the table, and the amount that was actual fines was only $314,000.
Listen, we're not violent. We've just got a drug problem.
That's it,
okay?
Man. Yeah.
Would you back off
we're
a little good, bit, Mom?
We're good.
All right? It's not like I'm out there murdering people.
Right.
I like just putting stuff in my body I'm not supposed to put in my body.
Yeah, that's the Texans are the guy where they do like really destructive things, but you're like, he's a really good guy though. You know what I mean? Like he's a good dude if you get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, like he's doing a lot of drugs, but he's not out there robbing convenience stores
right.
to fuel his habit or anything.
Right,
you know?
right.
Come on.
He pays for it with his own money, all right?
What was the game when John Harris pointed out that the defensive line was the healthiest and least suspended it's been this year?
Well, it had to be late in the season.
It
was when Mario Edwards came back, whatever game that was, I think. Might have been the Chiefs game right around there, Miami game, something like that. So look, I'm not here to say I'm angry about the false reporting. I mean, I wish they'd do better. As some like to tell us on the text page, do better.
Yeah.
But you know, like the optics of the Texans being triple and a half more dirty than everybody else. Yeah, okay. I like rooting for the heel sometimes, you know?
This came up during the Azeez Al-Shaair ordeal.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like, man, all right, yeah, I'd like the Texans to be the villains here. That would be fun. And a lot of people said to me, hey, Seth, the Texans aren't a team that can pull that off, or they haven't been that historically, or ownership doesn't want it. I think that,
I don't know about that.
The Texans have changed in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
The big thing is that they could totally be villains defensively right now. The problem is they're so drastically the opposite of villains offensively,
yeah.
or have been. They're the opposite of a bully on offense. They are a finesse team that doesn't do the finesse well as of yet. And maybe that can change this year. But I need the offense to at least be credible at rushing the football if you want to be known as a team that the sum total is a very physical football.
You got to have both sides of the football be good to be able to be a main event level heel. A heel that can main event WrestleMania. Right now they're a heel that's a fun mid-card act, you know, like to kind of, you know, get you through the show here a little bit. The defense has that persona, no doubt about it. The offense, you're right. The offense has some work to do in that department.
It's the difference between the Raiders in their golden age when, okay, they broke the rules a lot, but they were also really scary.
Yeah.
To the point where when the Raiders became, okay, they're the most penalized team in the league, but it's just because they lack discipline in
themselves. Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
If you're going to commit violent acts, make it worth something.
Right, right.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
Rob a bank, not a convenience store.
That's right, man. Yeah, the $186 you're going to walk away with in a convenience store.
There's a lot of times I do when I go in and I talk to young juvenile delinquents. I'll be like, what were you thinking, man? What do you think? You rob a convenience store? Have you no ambition? What are you doing? Like, exercise a little planning in your life.
No
all
kidding.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you can do it. You can turn this around.
Right.
All right? You could become like a crypto thief at some point if you set. If you put your nose to the grindstone and you work, okay?
Yes.
I see this in you. Others don't.
Rob,
you don't have to be just a convenience store the robber. You can aim higher.
Thieve better.
Yeah.
Rob better, all right?
You see these South American chaps? That's what I say. You see these South American chaps?
Oh.
They're out there like planning when the what do they call them? The South American theft groups? They've got a whole acronym for them.
Do they really?
SATGs, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
You talk-
that group, those people that got caught robbing Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
The Chilean mob, whatever they were. Yeah.
Who ultimately are going to get convicted because they took selfies with the loot.
We're going to hit
bad,
them. In.
Bad idea.
We're going to hit them.
Again, I wish I could have talked to those young men beforehand.
Yeah. No, you would have given them a good pep talk and helped them plan better.
Just a little bit of foresight, you know?
Yep, for sure, for sure. We'll talk about them in the 7 o'clock hour. Danico Autry, so Danico Autry is a big part of this number here, 2.1 million. If you recall, this is what Nick Caserio said about Danico Autry after they signed him last year.
Danico, I mean, this guy's a badass. I mean, this guy's a junkyard dog. Like, if you go into a dark alley, like, you want this guy behind you. Like, this is a bad MF-er. I mean, and a really good football player.
Okay, this is the thing with Danico Autry. I think he did some good things this year, but he was banged up and injured a lot. He was suspended to start the season. And I know that his story is that, hey, a pharmacy screwed up whatever he was supposed to be getting, and it was something that was banned by the NFL. And that might be 100% true. The problem is the guy had a career year as a 33-year-old in Tennessee. In the next offseason, he gets pinned for PEDs. He comes back this year. He's 34 years old, doesn't play as well. He's injured all the time, and now he's entering his 35-year-old season. It's you gotta divorce anything you feel about the guy personally or what have you, because I love the way he plays football. But all of those signs point to the logical decision that you got to move on from him.
Mm.
You can save a little bit of cap money if you do.
Yeah, Jonathan Alexander has a piece where the Texans, who are at $5 million in cap space before the new cap was announced, everybody's going to get another $20 million here around the league. So, you know, call it $25 million now with the new space that they were just given. But the Texans are going to open up more space by restructuring guy. We can dig into this a little deeper later in the show, but as long as we're talking about Autry, he's front and center in this piece. Because Jonathan's got some guys you can restructure and open up some cap space. He's got some guys that you can cut. And Danico Autry is one of the guys you can cut. And the bottom line is you can cut him before. You could cut him today and save $5.7 million. You can make him a June 1st, post-June 1st designation and save nearly $9 million on this year's cap. That's funny, Seth. So do you think there's a good chance they move on from Danico Autry to get $9 million in cap space this year?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he's 35 years old, and you gotta just look at it. If you're an outsider looking in, there's a lot of ifs here, you know, and there's a lot of buts. Like, well, he was suspended, but he didn't know that what he was putting into his body.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know how long he was putting what he didn't know into his body when he had a career year at age 33. He got injured a lot this last year. You could say, well, he played really well when he was healthy, but he got injured a lot. Yeah, he's 34 years old, and now he's going to be a year older. And it doesn't bode well for what's going to happen as he gets 1 year older.
That's good. They're all good points. I'm just wondering, he was pretty good in that Charger game. He was murdering that poor guard in the Chargers game.
Right. You know who was really good in the last couple of his years of his career when he was healthy? Kobe Bryant. But he was also perpetually injured. Was he worth the contract?
I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. I do think, like, the part that makes me pause is D'Amico loves to, you know, building through the defensive line, you know, like, and robbing. And again, I know he's old and he might be injured and so forth. Like, I wonder, like, if trying to steal cap space from the defensive line group, if that's something they're going to do.
Okay, if you're stealing cap space from the defensive line group, from somebody that you expect to play 17 games, then, yeah, you don't want to do that. That's the whole sum total of it is, all right, we're going to spend money against the cap to keep a guy that's probably going to get injured. And the chances would be by the laws of anatomy, he's probably going to be more injured as he gets older.
I wonder if maybe they split the middle and go to him and see if he take a pay cut, you know, something like that.
Yeah, that's a smart thing.
I think they want him on the team, but the points you raise are all valid.
Of course they are.
Right, but I'm still hesitant that they're going to cut him outright. Maybe I'm getting
who's
swept up.
Who is the most villainous team in the NFL right now? I feel like the Lions actually might be on a fast track to it because of the way they play defense.
Yeah.
They had a lot of illegal hits, and we'll see what it looks like without Aaron Glenn.
Like their safety, Brian Branch in particular, is viewed as that kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, off the top of my head, I know the Lions are a good one. But, yeah, I'm not – I'd have to think about that one. I think the Texans are up there.
The competition between the Texans and some of these other teams.
I think defensively the Texans are up there on the list for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll dig more into the cap gymnastics the Texans need to maybe go through here to pick up some dudes. We got a lot of headlines to get into, man, finally. It's been a headline-light week. Seth and I getting ready to head to West Palm Beach for a little baseball next week. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us there. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that. Up next, headlines, a retirement in the NFL. It kind of bumps up against the Texans a little bit. We've got press conference times for the head coach and the GM next week at the Combine. Big news in the TV world as well we'll get to in headlines. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. We'll start in the NFL. Retirement. Zach Martin retires up in Dallas. Future Hall of Famer. 7-time first-team All-Pro, the offseason. Yesterday I was thinking, Seth, I'm like, oh, the offseason continues to get worse for Dallas. Yeah, they hire Brian Schottenheimer. This might be one where it's like, okay, it was time. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't the player he once was. He can bail out here while they're still, while he's still, not at the rock bottom here. You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly a descending player.
He's 35 years old. He'll be 35 years old. And also just, what kind of sinking ship do I want to stick on and defend? Do I want to be like the captain of the Titanic here? You know, do I need to nobly go down with Jerry Jones running into an iceberg over and over again?
That's right. Probably best known for being the guy they picked with the selection that Jerry Jones wanted to take. Not best known for this. He's best known for being an amazing football player. But maybe the biggest wrinkle in his story is he was the pick that Jerry wanted to use on Johnny Manziel. and Jerry basically, figuratively at least, had to be tackled and pulled away from the phone. So
they had to wrestle his finger off a nuclear button.
Pretty much. Yeah, because that's what it was. I mean, it would have been fascinating to watch Johnny Manziel try to navigate living in Dallas as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a huge disaster.
Oh, God, yeah, that would have been fun to watch. But that
would have been so much even more spectacular than whatever the hell happened in Cleveland.
Yeah, it would have been.
There would have been way more social media video leaked.
Yes. So Zach Martin, retires, and cross him off. I know there were some people talking, hey, maybe Zach Martin for the Texans. Cross him off the list. He's out now. So we're back on the Trey Smith bandwagon.
Well, and for Martin, you had made the good point, because I was skeptical of Zach Martin, because the way they were talking about him leading into that Texans game, and then definitely when he ended up going on IR after the Texans game, was he was beat the hell up all year long, and they wondered whether he was going to keep playing or not. So it's not a huge surprise, but you had made a good point that, man, that's a guy who, on a, if he wants to do a 1 or 2 year deal that where he can come in and give you some stability and some veteran savvy, might make sense.
Yeah.
It wouldn't cost as much as, say, Trey Smith, the guard from Kansas City, who's one of the highest-rated guards in free agency.
Look, they need an attitude makeover in that offensive line room as much as they need better players, too, you know, better blockers. And he at least would have brought some... He would have brought a form of leadership that doesn't involve Instagram. You know what I mean? Like it's
well, that's, I mean, that's part of the problem though too. When they signed, when Shaq Mason was brought in, you know, Shaq Mason is a kind of a gritty, tough guy, but his play is just steadily degraded, and he's now in his 30s, and you just it's always dicey bringing in a veteran guy.
We're gonna start to see over the next couple weeks. I mean, the cuts are gonna be coming here soon. We'll talk later about that with respect to the cap. For the Texans, but I mean, Shaq Mason's got to be pretty high on that list. By the way, next week, NFL Combine, in addition to Seth and I being in West Palm Beach covering spring training for the Astros, there will be an NFL Combine next week. D'Amico Ryan's meeting with the media Tuesday at 12:15 Houston time. Nick Caserio meeting with the media Wednesday, 12:15 Houston time.
And by the way, Sean, I was just thinking about this yesterday. When we're in West Palm Beach this time, with your approval, this is what I thought we should do more. Okay. We sat in the press box for a lot of those games, and looking back on it, I don't know why the hell we did. You're stuck up there with a bunch of nerds, and meanwhile, you're looking out at everything out in front of you in the stands, which these spring training games are a blast. They got all kinds of different little party areas and everything. So I think we need to really partake in the games as actual fans.
I think it's a great idea. I think probably the reason I did it probably is because you can work and watch at the same time. You got Wi-Fi up there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the view from their press box also in that stadium is not great. It's remember if like the wind. And I don't listeners. I don't think care about this at all. But to your point, like it's. You have a hard time, like there's obstructed views in their press box if you're not sitting right up front. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm cool as long as I can have my app opened and see the pitch. You don't have the StatCast stuff for all the games in the spring training, but you do for a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we're probably going to watch a couple away games, I think.
One away game. Yep.
And then we might get to see a little bit of the automated strike zone.
Yes.
Which is fascinating the way things are. Okay, so this is how it works, real briefly, everybody. So it has to, the challenge has to come. You can challenge a certain number of pitches, and it has to come from either the catcher, the batter, or the pitcher within seconds of the ball crossing the plate.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to get input from the dugout or anything else like that. And there's a whole lot of other, you know, complications that creates. But it does. It puts the pressure on the player.
Strategically.
And so it's gonna be interesting, man. So Paredes, who's got some of the best, he's got one of the best eyes in the league, and he got screwed a bunch of times last year.
Yeah.
He had the most strikes called outside of the zone of any other player in baseball. Paredes can put it in his own hands, just like we saw with Bregman for years, where Bregman's got a better eye than the umpire. That Paredes has got that control, that he can make that challenge.
Dude, I wish this wasn't headlines, just because we could go, like, which players do you trust on the Astros, like while they're in the batter's box, to be able to, like, you know, like Jake Meyers would be a disaster in there, like challenging pitches and things like that. Thing would be like 3 feet out of the strike zone. Jake Meyers, challenge.
I think as a manager, you got to tell some guys no.
You can't do it. Yeah, no. Yeah. You're absolutely right. There's only certain guys that get that privilege. 100%.
Bregman, but it can't come from the manager.
Bregman is going to operate really well in that new environment. When eventually it does become the norm, because it will eventually become the norm, he's going to operate really well in that environment.
And it's going to be awesome for Astros fans because, well, we won't see it this year, but because there is a chance that somehow you could get help from somebody else in the stands who's watching on television, that the Astros will be accused of having stooges above the dugout or
That's
something.
That's funny. That's funny. Hey, speaking of television, how about this? This is pretty big television news because ESPN and Major League Baseball have been partners for decades now. They mutually agreed to opt out of their television deal following this season. And I don't know what this is indicative of. Like ESPN was going back to Major League Baseball apparently and saying, hey, we don't want to pay you as much for the rights. if you watch ESPN's programming, it's pretty clear they're not nearly as in on baseball as they are the NBA or the NFL. And Major League Baseball noticed that in the letter to ESPN where they are choosing to get out of the contract. They're not doing anything illegal. Like these two sides had an option built in after this year to opt out. One of the things Rob Manfred said is they're disappointed in the amount of coverage that baseball gets on ESPN outside of just the games.
And he said it on a shrinking platform. That was a little shot they snuck
in
there.
Shot, yeah.
Yeah, listen, we're not all that. So ESPN pulls out, and it has to be a mutual pull out, and which usually hopefully they all are. And so ESPN pulls out, and MLB says, well, yeah, we didn't want you anyway, shrinking platform.
You and your little
shrinking platform. Of course you pulled out. You couldn't even keep it up long enough to, So, I don't know. And there's a chance that ESPN might get back involved in some of the discussions.
Well, I think if one of the big glitches he has with, and he listed a few things, yes, like the platform they're on. Oh, we're thinking of maybe going to something a little more progressive. You know, they already do business, baseball does, with Apple and Roku on unlimited packages of games. And Manfred made some decent points in his letter to baseball. I just wonder, the thing that popped the headlines was the lack of coverage that baseball's getting on ESPN, which is 100% true. If you watch shows like First Take and Get Up, there's no baseball coverage.
The most they talk about baseball is when Stephen A. Smith comes up and just says something about Ohtani not being a true American or weird stuff like that.
If it weren't for Shohei Ohtani, there'd be no baseball on ESPN outside of the games, 100%.
Except or Aaron Judge when he's breaking a record that nobody cares about and you're breaking in on a different on football games.
That's a great point. I'd have been like, what are you talking about? We put every Aaron Judge at bat during college football Saturdays. We put it as an inset on the screen.
AAC fans had to know what was going on with Aaron Judge chase of a record nobody cares about.
Yeah, Tulsa and East Carolina game gets interrupted by an Aaron Judge at bat. Nevertheless, I wonder what outlet is going to have for Manfred what he wants. Like the next logical one is, all right, well, let's just throw some more at Fox or FS1 or all those. None of those shows talk about baseball either. They're all football and basketball oriented.
Maybe it's Sports Radio 610. All of a sudden, you're going to get a headline.
we're streaming on our YouTube channel.
We're streaming
on our YouTube channel.
We're streaming Friday Night Baseball or something
like
that.
That's right. So baseball. But it is, when you think about it, like Home Run Derby, synonymous with ESPN. You know, like there's a lot of, there are a lot of ties. A couple quick headlines here also. We've talked about this earlier in the show. Victor Wembanyama, done for the year in San Antonio. Deep vein thrombosis is the medical term for blood clots in his right shoulder. It's not believed to be something that's serious enough to impact him at the beginning of next year. It's expected he'll be back next year. So we'll see with that. Rockets back in action tonight against Minnesota. Jabari Smith is back for this game. No indication yet whether he's jumping back into the starting lineup for the Rockets here. Ime Udoka was asked about it yesterday. Did not give any indication. And last night, Canada, 3, U.S. 2 in overtime in the Four Nations Classic. All right, those are your headlines.
That's why I'm so tired this morning. I was up late watching that game.
The hockey game?
Until whatever time it ended, Sean.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I was unaware of any of this until this morning.
It was a late one, overtime game. So there you go. All right, we asked the question yesterday, which team wins a title first? Rockets, Texans, Astros, all are at about the same level in their respective sports. I was surprised by the answer to, I put this up in a poll yesterday. Rockets, Texans, Astros, which team wins a title first? I'll have Seth do the guessing game with the poll. We'll see if you agree. You can weigh in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.